forget how to podcast or how to talk because I end up A, jumping into the nitty gritty of whatever I need to talk about and get off my chest, or B, I just get so excited that I start mumbling and going over all my words and I'm like, Lindsay, slow your roll. It's not the end of the world. Take your time. Let's try it again. Give a proper intro like the true podcaster you are. You haven't been doing this for 7 months for nothing. So it's all about living and learning. But hey, everyone, welcome back to the Jappy Jaws podcast. If you are new here, welcome. It's lovely to have you. And if you're not new here and you're returning, I appreciate you. I missed you so much in a week. It is your hostess, with the mostest, the jappiest of some, if not of them all, Lindsay Moraskin with episode 27. Guys, it's been such a dream, truly. And I know I say this every episode, but I just cannot thank you all for the constant love and support and all the blessings that have come from this in the last 7 months. It means the absolute world and more, and I'm not going to get emotional about it, but you guys know how I feel about you. I hope all of you are doing well, though, but before we get into the beefy grits of today's episode, we got to take care of some business, all right? First things first, I want to give a few thank yous. My first thank you goes to everyone that entered the Jappy Jaws X Vintage by Lex giveaway that I did last week with my special guest, Alexis Constantakis of Vintage by Lex. I was so excited and so overwhelmed with joy for how many of you entered and followed and became new subscribers from this giveaway and are purchasing from Lex. It truly means the absolute world to both of us. I also cannot thank Lex enough for doing this with me and collaborating and being so amazing throughout this entire process. It's literally been a dream and I cannot thank you enough. Also, gotta support fellow Long Islanders. Be on the lookout for more stuff like this, not only just from her and me, but from me and other people as well. It truly was so much fun doing this and I am so excited for whoever gets to win. Today on launch day is when it will be announced. I don't know at what time, but whoever does win, congratulations, you are the chosen one and I'm so excited for you to enjoy your brand new Harley Davidson rhinestone crew neck, which is literally the dopest thing ever. And also, if you guys are still interested in anything from Vintage by Lex, make sure you check out her website and you can use code JAPPYJAWS for 10% off your order. Another big thank you goes out to everyone who joined the Clubhouse event I was part of last Thursday as well. And a huge thank you to Katie Dombrowski of the Moral Hangover podcast and Victoria Bruno, who organized it all, and for the fellow moderators, Marshall Sandman, who is the head of Venture for Sway LA, Jenna Palick, who is a fellow TikToker. I mean, I'm not at her status, but you know what I mean. Sam Schwartz of Philly Foodstagram, and all the other people that we got to talk to. It was so much fun chatting with so many different people that I was not expecting, answering so many questions of yours, and being able to interact with people. LinkedIn really needs to fucking run, because Clubhouse is so much fucking fun. I legit had a blast. It's so much more relaxing, and you don't need to feel as professional like you would in a LinkedIn session, and I really recommend it for anyone, because it's not just about business stuff. It's about hobbies. It's about interests. It's about whatever you want it to be about. You will find your niche when you're on there. If you're on Clubhouse, though, make sure you're following me at Lindsay Moraskin. It is linked down below in my description. And, you know, if you need an invite link, I still have a few left, so you can DM me on Instagram and we can get you set up. Also, last and final course of action for the business of today. I want to make sure you guys are staying up to date with everything Jappy Jaws, so please make sure you are following me on Instagram at Jappy Jaws, JAPPYJAWS, as well as my personal Instagram at Lindsay Anya, LindsayAnyaA. That is all also linked down below in the episode description, so make sure you're clicking on all those links and making sure you're staying up to date with everything and all things Jappy Jaws related. Also, I want to make sure you guys are staying up to date when episodes are being launched. So wherever you're listening from, whether that be Spotify, Apple, Anchor, Google, make sure you are subscribed, following, reviewing, rating, listening, obviously liking, and so forth, and turning that post notification bell on so every time I upload a brand new episode, you are the first to know and be notified. I sound like a YouTuber. It's essentially the same thing. You are notified first and foremost when there is a brand new episode. So make sure you are all doing that. All right, enough business. Let's get to a drinking game, baby. As you know, for the last few episodes, I have been implementing a drinking game of the sorts, almost like the drinking game that they do on Watch What Happens Live with Andy Cohen, but, you know, podcast-like. So if you are over the age of 21, make yourself a cocktail. This week, I am going to recommend a pina colada. Now, I've never actually had a pina colada because I'm pretty sure I'm allergic to coconut, but I've heard they're pretty good. So do that. If you're under the age of 21, maybe a virgin pina colada. You know, I heard those are good too. I never got to experience it, or a strawberry daiquiri because I'm allergic to those too, but it's almost like a margarita kind of. I don't know. It's like a frozen thing, but you know what I mean? If you are driving or you're at the gym or you're at work or whatever, water, coffee, an energy drink, whatever you got. So take a sip every time you hear mention of. We're actually going to spice things up a little bit today because we're going to do two different words. So the first word is going to be gym. So really any mention of working out, the gym, exercise that you hear in this episode, take a sip. But, and you'll realize later on why I'm saying this, every time you hear me or my special guest today mention the word yay, take another sip. All right, everyone? Jars, I'm not going to lie to you. We have an interesting episode laid out for you all today. I'm talking about a bunch of different things, and I hope you can keep up. Not only keep up, but understand where I'm coming from and why I needed to get all this shit off my chest. So as I mentioned last week, it was Passover this past weekend. So once again, a happy and healthy Passover holiday to all of those that celebrate it. It's one of my favorite Jewish holidays because of the food, I'm not gonna lie. But I don't know. Usually, and it's weird that I kind of started thinking about all this stuff during the holiday, because this isn't really a holiday that's supposed to really get you thinking about a lot of things or putting things into perspective. But you know what? I'm just gonna give it to Passover for this one. But it's also been something that's been weighing on my mind for the last like month or so. And I'm gonna get really personal for a second, so don't mind me. But I feel as if that what I'm about to say is going to help someone else, because I know when someone else has given me this advice or I've talked to other people about similar situations, it's really helped me. And my goal is to help you. So I don't know. I just kind of want everyone to be happy and kind of have this light at the end of the tunnel moment. And I know I've gotten a lot of advice and heard a lot of other stories and situations and experiences that definitely helped me in this moment. But I had posted a TikTok this past weekend basically saying that someone once gave me the advice saying that you need to do things on your own time. You are thoroughly in control of all that you are and all that you are feeling and all that you are doing. And it is up to no one else but you to figure that out in your own time. And not to necessarily waste your time with it, but allow yourself to feel certain things. And I think a lot of people put a lot of pressure on themselves, and I'm definitely one of them, that we need that quick fix, that something needs to be resolved automatically. Otherwise, you can't move on from it, or you try to find an answer for something and it just doesn't work out. And I know for me recently, and I kind of haven't talked about it a lot because it is my personal life, but at the same time, like, I wasn't coming to terms with how things were going and how I was feeling in a certain situation, or situations, I should say. But I think that that quote or that phrase or that advice that someone once gave me truly stuck with me the most, because yes, you can go to your friends, your family, and get their opinion and their advice on how you should handle a situation, what you should do going from there. And you could take all the advice you want, but you're really not going to do anything till it feels right for you and you do it on your own time, because you can't rush the healing process. You can't rush how you feel. You can't just be like, oh, I have feelings today. Click on, click off. It's not a switch. You truly need to deal with the emotions, deal with the motions, and go from there. I feel like people are so afraid of emotions and afraid to feel what they want to feel because they don't want to be upset, or they don't want to be angry, or they don't want to do this, they don't want to do that. I think everyone just needs to shut the fuck up and allow themselves to have that time or that moment to grieve or feel upset, whether that's in a work situation or a relationship or something with your family or school. It does not matter. It's up to you. It's not up to anybody else. Social media has done a terrible job with that, because all we're doing, especially now with the fucking pandemic, there really isn't much to do for people like myself who are sitting at home and just waiting to move to the next chapter of their lives, but are kind of stuck in this like stagnant era because of everything going on. But all you're left is with your phone and to think and your thoughts and looking at shit. And I've realized that going and peeping someone's profile and stories and all that shit, I'm really exposing myself, but it truly makes you more upset. Like, you are the person that's doing that to yourself, not necessarily the person that you're looking at or the job you're looking at or the professor you're looking at. I know that kind of sounds silly, but I think you're catching my drift. You're putting yourself in that position to see something that you know is going to make you upset. And I'm not sure what the motive of everybody wanting to go do that is. I don't think anybody wants to feel upset from these situations, but stop looking at shit. Like, I just truly cannot stress that enough. I really had a wake-up call moment last last week when I caught myself doing this in a certain situation and I was talking to friends about it. I was like, I'm so upset, blah, blah, blah. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking and everyone's giving me their advice. And I was like, this isn't what I want to hear right now. I need to think to myself. And I was just like, I'm doing this to myself. This situation obviously isn't working out or it's not going to. I need to come to terms with that. I need to stop trying to put this scenario and paint this picture in my head of what could have been or what could happen. If things are going to happen, it will. It's not like I can just poof, snap my fingers, a genie in a bottle type situation where something that I want to go a certain way is going to happen. Because as much as I wish that could happen, it's not going to. And it's hard not to look and it's hard not to care about certain things. And I know that's something that's definitely been difficult for me, but I was like, holy shit, Lindsay. Stop doing this. Like, you have been so upset and so in a different world because of this, but you're really like the main contributor to doing this. You need to stop. And I think once you kind of put yourself in check and kind of be like, listen, you need to not do that. Instead of listening to a friend or a family member or a significant other in a certain situation, you need to listen to yourself. I think having positive conversations and talks within your mind and your ego will be so much more beneficial. And yes, it's going to be hard. You're going to have bad days. You're going to have good days. You're not going to feel great about something, but not looking at shit is such a big first step. And I encourage you all to kind of wean off it. It doesn't have to be all at once. You kind of just have to slowly and surely back away from it. And then you kind of start to see that you don't really give a shit as much. And yes, you're going to have that feeling still in the back of your mind, but it's not going to be as prominent as when you're waking up or you're in the middle of something, you're feeling angry about something and you're going to peep something from a job website or an ex's profile or from an ex-friend's profile. You never know what you're going to find and it's just going to make you 10 times more upset. And I really had a huge wake-up call moment putting myself in a dark hole and I was like, holy fuck, like, if you want to be able to move out of this situation that you're in and you want to see that light at the end of the tunnel, you have to start with you. Because obviously you're not waiting on this thing to, you know, give you that push because that's not going to happen. People are always expecting someone else to do that job for them. And yes, you can take all the advice and all the encouragement you want, and that'll be extremely helpful. I know it's been for me, but the only person standing in your way is you. So stop looking at shit, encourage yourself, be your own best friend and feel that power that you have and that you're able to overcome however you're feeling and be like, listen, I'm doing this for myself. It's not necessarily this person that I'm making out to be a villain or this thing that I'm making out to be the bad guy, because it doesn't need to be like that, because we're not always going to get an answer. And that at the end of the day is an answer too. You kind of just have to move on with yourself. And even though you don't have closure or you don't have a final say, like everybody wants to get one last thing out. And sometimes don't do that. And I know it'll eat people alive. It's eaten me alive in so many different situations, but you just have to be like, okay, I'm leaving that stepping stone there and there's another one to my right or another one to my left. Let's take that route instead because I can't keep staying on the stone. And I know that's kind of all over the place, but I hope you're kind of understanding and catching my drift of saying like, you need to guide your own self. You can't rely on anyone else and you need to do it on your own time. Take all the encouragement, the advice, and all the support that you will get from family and friends. You need to do it for yourself. You can't just expect someone else to do it for you. So with that, do things on your own time, please. Okay, was that deep enough for you guys? I know that was a lot to kind of go in with heavy and handle, but I just really needed to get that off my chest. And I know a lot of you guys would appreciate that. It really helped me. And I know I'm not gonna tell you how to do it, but I hope that encourages you in a way to be like, okay, maybe I should rethink. And you don't have to take my advice, absolutely not. But I'm just telling you something that may help you and lead you to that other stepping stone. But I will leave you all with that. My next thing that I want to talk about isn't as deep, but it does hit a few heartstrings, I guess. I want to talk about the gym for a second. And I know I had mentioned, I think an episode or two ago, that I've recently gone back to the gym. And I haven't been back to a gym really on the island since 2019, I want to say, because I was still at school. I had the school gym. When I was home, I had a completely different gym membership that I canceled because I went back to school. So I really haven't been to any gym on the island in quite some time. Because of the pandemic, I was doing a lot of home workouts for a while. One of my good friends has gym equipment in her garage, so over the summer we would use that. But I was really hesitant for a while to go back and get a membership just because of COVID and safety reasons. I just got to a point one day where I was like, I am so thankful that I've had these home workouts, but I cannot stand them anymore. I need to see more of a change. And to give you a little background on my fitness journey, I hate saying it like that. I've talked about it briefly, but I, in high school, was not necessarily the healthiest. And then while I was in college, I did develop an eating disorder, which I'm not really ready to talk about just yet, but I want to be able to eventually. But a lot of stuff also stems from the gym. And Over the years, I've grown to love the gym so much. It's become such a safe place for me. It's become such a motivator, happy place. I've grown truly such a great relationship with it. And going back to it, I honestly was afraid. Because getting back into the swing of things, first of all, when you're at the gym, because before COVID, I was at the gym squatting almost double my weight, really focusing on my strength and building muscle and being very dedicated. And I really credit a lot of that to my roommate, who I know I've mentioned a bunch of different times. She is truly the gains queen, and I credit a lot of it to her because she has been a saint through it all and got me out of my comfort zone that I needed to so desperately get out of to make the changes I wanted to make and grow this loving relationship with the gym. But going back, getting back to the swing of things, you are really not prepared for the equipment and where you once were at a year ago than where you are now, because clearly I don't have a barbell, squat rack, any real gym equipment in my house. I had 8-pound dumbbells and a 10-pound kettlebell and resistance bands. And yes, that is so beneficial. And if that's all you have, that's great. At least you're doing something. But I definitely needed more considering that's what I was used to for so long. And I truly was afraid with going back because I was like, I don't know where my strength's at. Like, I don't know what's going to feel heavy, what's going to feel light, if I'm pushing myself too hard, if I'm pushing myself not enough. And I was kind of psyching myself out, and I kind of feel like I'm still doing that in a way because I don't really have a set place of where I'm at. Like, I definitely have felt myself getting stronger and getting back to that place I once was at a year ago, but it's still scary. And I also signed up for a brand new gym. And the reason I signed up to this gym was A, because of their hours. They're the only gym around me that was opening at the godforsaken 4 a.m. But I mean, I've been slacking this week with going early and I've been going later at night, but I do appreciate getting it done earlier on and then having the rest of my day to do whatever the fuck I want. Them opening up that early was a huge plus. I loved all of the equipment that they had. The price was right for me. And I don't know, I've always just heard great things, but one of the negatives is that it's my high school part two, essentially. I haven't seen many people, honestly, but the few that I have that I either graduated with or a year older than me, a year younger than me, I'm just like, I could really go without seeing you. So that's where I'm thankful for the mask coming in. I usually wear a hat to the gym because, I don't know, it keeps my headphones on because I put my Beats over my head. And if I don't, it kind of like slips and falls. So it kind of keeps that in place. I don't know. I just like the aesthetic of wearing a hat and it keeps me focused. It's a mental thing. That's one of the downfalls of it being my high school part two. And also, it's just been an adjustment because when you're at school, and I know this was a huge thing for me, you know, especially with hours, who you're going to see at the gym. As big of a school as Temple was, it still is just as small. When you go to the gym, you're going to see that certain someone or people that you don't necessarily want to see all the time. And same thing with my old gym that I went to before I signed up to the new one I go to now. And you know, when you go at a specific time, you're going to see the certain people and you know who's there and whatever. So that was a big adjustment for me going from what I knew at school to working out at home and just having my family pass by me wherever I was working out, and then going to a brand new gym and at the different hours that I've gone, seeing the people that are the regulars at that time and the people that aren't. I've much rathered the earlier people because I don't feel as if there's more pressure or more eyes on me because there's not as many people there at 4 o'clock in the morning. But I think it's definitely an adjustment that I've learned to kind of get a little bit more used to. I think this is a major thing, and I know a lot of people, when I talk about the gym in general, always say this, kind of use it as an excuse, and I'm really over people saying it. They are so much more concerned with everyone looking at them and seeing what they're doing rather than doing it or going to the gym and getting it done. And this definitely obviously is something that I've struggled with in the past, but everyone needs to get through their head that everyone has the same thoughts. Everybody knows that everyone else is looking at them at some point or another, or they feel like people are watching them or looking at what they're wearing or how they're doing a certain exercise. And don't get me wrong, we've all done our fair share of judging and looking. And one of the many perks of wearing a hat and a mask and having my huge ass headphones across my head is that my eyes are so dark that if I am staring at someone, they can't really tell, which I know kind of defeats the purpose. But having the mentality of like, you're afraid to go to the gym and you're afraid of people saying something or people doing something and looking at you in a funky way because you don't want to look stupid is such a stupid mentality. If you're doing something wrong, A, you're going to feel that you're doing something wrong. B, there are good people at the gym that would be like, hey, I'm not trying to invade your space, but this is just a tip I would do. It's not uncommon. And I almost appreciate when people do that more because I'm like, oh, I want to be able to grow in whichever way I can here and with my workouts. Like if I'm doing something wrong, I want to know. I think what I've come to the realization and what I've been dealing with myself is that I'm not necessarily 110% comfortable yet, which it's not a bad thing because I think only being there for however long, which I think it's been a month, I'm not going to feel 100% because I am getting back into the swing of things. I'm not used to where everything is in the gym. So I feel a little uneasy about certain things. I'm like, oh, I hope no one sees that I'm doing this or that I'm doing that. And it's just something you have to overcome, but people shouldn't be using that as an excuse not to get it done or not to go after doing a workout that you might want to do because you're really only holding yourself back. And I think that's something that I've really needed to drill into my brain too and realize that everyone else has the exact same thoughts and that it takes time to get back into the swing of things and get comfortable. So I hope that's kind of encouraging for everyone else because that also comes with adulting. And I feel like a lot of people put a lot of pressure on themselves with trying to feel comfortable in their new adult lives or in the gym. It doesn't matter, but everyone's always just trying to get comfortable. And we have to realize that it takes time to get comfortable. I feel like also, and I was saying this yesterday, I feel like once you graduate, especially, and all my post-grad people could probably agree, like if you're just a year out, maybe two, you instantly feel like you have no time. And I know I've always said that, but you all of a sudden start feeling like 10 plus years have been added onto your life. And that's just not true. You still have time. I get it. There's a pandemic. Being 22 in a pandemic is terrible. I want to be able to go out and still shake my ass and not be embarrassed about it. I want to be able to go on all these different fucking dates and meet people, but it seems like that's on hold for a little bit because of the climate that we're living in and because of the way people have been viewing all that shit. But I'm hoping it gets better. But I think a lot of people need to start getting comfortable with feeling uncomfortable, all right? That's a little deep for you. Whether that's in the gym and feeling comfortable with your surroundings and what you're doing and feeling confident in that, or feeling comfortable in your job or your relationship or your friendships or wherever you may stand, you need to be uncomfortable with getting comfortable because we don't have a manual, we don't have a handbook of how we should approach these things. But I think that we need to figure it out through trial and error. And I think a lot of people are very afraid of doing so. I guess with me going back to the gym and telling you guys how it's been quite the transition for me, but it's really a mental game and you got to get out of your head. You got to get uncomfortable. And then once you do that, there's going to be so many more opportunities and so many doors open for you. I hope I'm making sense and that my advice and my experience and my navigation through all of this is a little push for you all and that you all are able to relate to it with however way you want to, whether that be in your personal life, in a relationship, in your work life, whatever it may be. I just hope whatever I'm saying resonates with you and that you're understanding where I'm coming from. I know it's a little all over the place, but what else would I be without that? Being all over the place is also part of my dramatic brand, but it makes sense. And everyone else kind of sometimes, and a lot of people have told me this in my DMs, feel afraid of feeling or talking or being all over the place because they feel like they need to have themselves in order. And guess what? No, you do not. There is no reason to, you know, have yourself in a straight, narrow line. You're supposed to go off the written path, okay? But that's as deep as we're gonna get today, baby. I think everyone needs a nice decleanse. So what better way of decleansing than talking about some pop culture shit? But first and foremost, I had so many people in my DMs saying, Linz, are you okay? Are you still listening to Justin Bieber's new album, Justice? And yes, bitches, I am. It is a piece of gold. My sister and I enjoy our car rides, probably me more so than her because I don't let her take aux. It's all I've been playing. It's what I play on the way to the gym. I don't listen to it while I'm working out because I will burst out into song and dance and nobody wants that. But I promise you, if you haven't listened to the Deluxe Triple Chucks, I think that's how you say it, you need to go do that now. But
I have a sweet spot, a guilty pleasure, if you will, for anything and everything pop culture. I have my squad and my go-to people for everything. Television, music, YouTube, TikTok, whatever it may be, we all love it and we indulge in all the entertainment news we possibly could have. And I know all of you enjoy this shit as much as I do. I get the DMs, I see what you guys have to say about it all, and you always say, well, I want to hear what you have to say. And I figured, like, yes, I have a good opinion, not to toot my own horn, but I have so many other great resources that have such great opinions as well. So I figured, why not incorporate it with you all in a new segment I like to call Yay or Nay. This won't be as much of a weekly thing as some other stuff I chat about, but this will definitely be something I'll be doing with the help of some of my trusty pop culture fanatics, basically giving our take and opinion on what's recently been trending. A yay or nay vote. And who better to be the first trusty fan than the one the only, my ride or die, Victoria Bruno from the Moral Hangover Podcast. Hey.
What an intro. I love it. Hi.
I figured when I was like talking to Vic this past week, I was like, I really feel like there's been such great shit in the media about so many different things, and especially because we have similar tastes. So you and I were diving. I'm like, this would be such great content for both of us. So I figured, you know what? I'd cut the cord and be like, you know what? Let's do it. You know what? We got to chat a little bit, and hopefully we can get Katie on too soon, and maybe both of you at the same time, who knows, for a future episode. But for this first one, it had to be you.
I'm honored. I'm also honored that you mention my name on so many of your episodes. I'm like, oh, that's me. That's me, guys.
Everybody knows that, like, I go to you for everything and anything. But it's also like when you talk to someone so much and they also have a podcast, it's not only like mentioning your friends, but it's also like hyping them up. You know, head over to the Moral Hangover Podcast.
Yeah, subtle plug. Thank you.
Subtle plug, of course. I want to get right into it. So basically, like I said before, we are yay or naying whatever is going on in the media. Obviously, a lot of people know, and I think some know, that you have quite the obsession as well with the Sway Boys.
Yeah, it's an embarrassing guilty pleasure. Because I think you're my only friend who shares the interest in the Sway House. Like, no other friend I have does.
I agree, because like other people will know, my one friend was a huge fan and loved Griffin just as much as I did. And then she kind of died out. But you know what? I'm a ride or die. I also think it's so interesting because that is the new reality for our generation and under. Are we Gen Z or millennials? I'm going to sound so stupid with saying that.
We're on the cusp.
This still kind of affects us because this is something that we see all the time. We are avid TikTok lovers. We follow them on Instagram. We are so invested that it's hard not to kind of get a grasp on what's going on. So when they announced that they were doing a reality show, I was like, what the hell? So before I start off, it's called Sway LA, and it's only featured on Facebook Watch and IGTV.
Yeah, which I was like, wow, that's a weird platform.
Exactly. And it's like 10-minute clips. It's not even like something where if it was on TV, when it's usually 30 minutes, it's 15 minutes in actuality without commercials. So it's only like 10 minutes worth of content. But is it a yay or nay from you, Victoria?
I would say it's a yay for me, but okay, probably not for many. What do you think?
I think it is a yay as well. I mean, I wish it was kind of streamed maybe on YouTube Watch. Doing it on Instagram wasn't the smartest idea, but I think the idea in general is definitely something that it's gonna do so well. And I think that based off the first episode, which dropped I think 2 days ago, was something very interesting to see, because yeah, we see their vlog and we see whatever they put on TikTok, but I feel like this kind of gives a whole new perspective on them.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, it bothered me that it was on IGTV. Like, they definitely should have picked YouTube as their platform, because didn't like Quibi fail? That was just on like,
yes,
when you could only really watch it on your phone. Like, a lot of people like to watch YouTube either on their phone or on their laptop. I've never watched IGTV on my computer. Like, they need to reach their audience at both places.
And I think it's only 10 episodes right now, so I don't know how it's going to work if it gets picked back up or if it's something that they want to do. I guess that has to do with production as well. But I think it is a good idea, because I feel like what a lot of people don't understand about the Sway Boys, and I think you can attest to this as well, is that they are so much more than a TikToker.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they have way more personality than what comes across. I feel like a lot of people say that about Bryce, and he's probably the most controversial of them all.
Yeah, I think they're really smart in what they're doing, and they realize that TikTok is not going to be their only career and are trying to be more business-minded.
And I'm really curious to see which of the girlfriends are going to be featured, because the first episode really emphasized getting Keo and Griffin girlfriends and dating, which I thought was very interesting.
And especially since it's only 10 minutes, did you see that Taylor and Charlie Jordan broke up, and they said that they announced it because it's going to play out on the reality show? And I'm like, how do they do that in just 10 minutes?
So exactly.
Maybe it gets longer. I don't know. I want to see how it unfolds.
But for now, we are giving it a whopping yay.
Yes, a yay. And hopefully one day Lindsay can date Griffin, and maybe I can work for Sway House. That's my goal.
Or maybe like both. We both can work for them. You know, I know it's bad to mix business with pleasure sometimes. However, this is not something I would consider business and pleasure. I would consider this like something greater than that, you know?
Yeah.
So we're going to move on to the next thing, which is Chrissy Teigen has officially quit Twitter. Everybody knows that Chrissy is so beyond famous for all of her tweets. She is so authentically herself, and whatever's on her mind gets put out in a tweet, or it was put out into a tweet. She had announced on March 24th that she was quitting Twitter, and it was for over 10 years. You guys have seen my world. I honestly owe so much of this world we have created here. I truly consider so many of you my actual friends, but it's time for me to say goodbye. This no longer serves me as positively as it serves me negatively. And I think that it's the right time to call something. She also added that, I've always been portrayed as a strong clapback girl, but I'm just not. And she believes that her fear of pissing people off has transformed her into a different human than she started out as. She also was saying how for years I have taken so many small 2-follower count punches that at this point I'm honestly deeply bruised. There was definitely more that went into it, but I don't know how I feel 110% about this, Vic. What about you?
I know. I felt the same way, but I honestly think that Twitter has become a really toxic platform. And I think, you know, it's the best to not be on the platform, even though I know that you're on it and you're an avid person. But anytime I go on it, like, I end up getting upset. You see things that you don't want to see. It's definitely a great place for people to voice their opinions, but I don't know. Sometimes it's a really toxic place.
It definitely can be. And obviously in the climate we live in with politics and government and everything that just plays out and everyone having an opinion on things, it definitely has taken a turn for the worse. Obviously, Chrissy was very vocal, John too, about their feelings towards the president and the election, which Twitter, in a way, that is a great place for people to use their platform and encourage people to vote or encourage people to educate themselves more on matters, which I will never take away from anyone. And I think Chrissy, honestly, in my opinion, did a great job with letting people know what to do and how to do it, because she wasn't like a robocall. She was putting it out there being like, hey, this is what's happening. This either sucks or this is great. This is what you should be paying attention to, instead of just being like, I'm partnering with this person. She always kept it real, and that's what I loved about her. So for now, I'm kind of 50-50 with a yay or nay with her, because I loved her content. I loved seeing all of her tweets. But I also think it gets to a point where enough is enough on both ends, where you kind of have to know your audience now, but also you shouldn't have to feel so, in her words, bruised by what's being said.
Yeah, exactly. And then after 10 years, like, she's always been that person that's very out there. So like, what happened now that all of a sudden she's like, no more?
I think definitely miscarrying her son Jack with that whole thing. So I think that was so beyond traumatizing. I can't even imagine. My mom, unfortunately, has gone through similar with being a fertility mom. My sister and I are both fertility babies. And it's something that, like, definitely will affect you for a very long time. And I don't think she had that when she was pregnant with her other two children. So I think that definitely takes a toll. But I don't know. Do you think John's going to stay on?
I think so. Maybe just for her, she, in those moments, and especially with COVID in the past year, you really realize more about, like, life and what not to take for granted. So maybe she's just trying to, like, focus on enjoying the present and not focusing on social media.
So do you think this is a yay, nay, or a 50-50?
Well, if we're saying yay, like, we're like, okay, good for her, or nay, like, no, she should get back on.
Yay, good for her. Nay, we want her back.
Or I say, are you somewhere in the middle? Good for her.
So the next one I want to talk about is, I think Vic, I know, feels extremely strongly about. So I mentioned a few weeks ago the Meghan Markle interview with Oprah, and I think that really shook everyone, for anyone who was invested in the royal family and Meghan and anything going on, because nobody really knows what's going on behind closed doors in any situation, and especially in one with the royal family and how that whole system works, because for the people in the US, we have zero idea how that works. We just kind of admire it from afar, and it's kind of like a show almost, and we almost think it's like, oh, Meghan Markle's like Princess Diary, she's in Genovia, but that's not the case at all. Do you agree?
Yes, I agree. I have, like, and no idea what they're doing over there.
Exactly. So I think the interview was definitely very telling of a lot of different things. But it was said in the interview that Kate made Meghan cry about something had gone on. And there was an article that recently came out saying that her uncle, meaning Kate Middleton's uncle, doesn't believe for a moment that she made Meghan Markle cry, saying that it's just simply not in her nature. She doesn't have a mean bone in her body. She's even lovelier on the inside than she is the outside. And that it was Meghan that actually had a hissy fit and not Kate. I'm not sure if this is only coming out because of everything that was being, quote unquote, exposed in the interview, but what are your thoughts?
I say nay. I actually heard there's, like, controversy that they think, what's her name, Meghan, like, made up some of the stuff. And I think that's BS. Like, there's no way Meghan would get to that point and come up with, like, a fake story. They already have, like, their fame. And just because her uncle said, oh, she's a good person, she can never make someone cry, like, everyone's entitled to their own feelings. Like, exactly. I cry if someone says something slightly the wrong way to me sometimes. Like, maybe Meghan was PMSing before her wedding and was extra emotional. Anything can make me cry. So Yeah, I think that's unnecessary. A big nay. What do you think?
I think it's a huge nay. I think when it comes to an interview like that, if you think someone's making up that much of intricate detail, then you're on crack, honestly. Point blank, period. I think that from what was being said on not only just Meghan's side, but Harry's side as well, because he was saying something that he had already been feeling for however long before he even met Meghan. And also, exactly, going back to your point of being like, oh, maybe she was PMSing, it was her wedding. Exactly. It was her wedding. She
had every right. Your stress is high.
Also, the fact that their wedding was being so televised and on national news, she said it herself, it wasn't for them. It was for everyone else, which sucked. And maybe that was okay for Kate when her and Prince William got married, but obviously that wasn't entirely the case for Meghan. And I just think that with everything coming out about all of them, all the shit that went down with Piers Morgan and Sharon Osbourne, I just think that everyone is just trying to make Meghan and Harry and the whole interview look like the bad guy that isn't on their side. So this is a huge nay from me. I think that her uncle's words are pieces of shit.
Yeah, I agree. And I would totally love to see, just a side note, Meghan and Harry come out with like an E! Reality show, kind of like how Jesse and Eric Decker had one. Like, they need one. I watch it.
I think that they are really hooking up something. I think what they should do, instead of something on E! And doing a more reality-based, I think we need, and this is going to sound super controversial to what I normally watch, but I think we need more of a show that is a reality show that is surrounded and based off of philanthropy and charity. Like, I know Big Brother kind of does that and other, I guess, shows, but I feel like it's all an act. But I think they are so philanthropic and they are so about, you know, giving back to the community and everything like that, that they would do well with that over a reality show.
I like that.
A yay for that, but a nay for Kate Middleton's uncle. So the next topic I want to talk about is Addison Rae and her new song, Obsessed. Yay or nay?
Yay. What do you think?
I kind of like it from what I've heard and seen on TikTok. And I love when everybody's making the joke of like that dance move that she does in it that no one can realistically do besides her. But the whole message behind the song, which there's the main lyrics of, I'm obsessed with me as much as you say you die for me, I die for me too. And she even said in an interview when she was on Jimmy Fallon and did her first performance that it's obviously cliche to be like, oh, love yourself, you're great. But I think this song was kind of a reminder of that. One of the lyrics, if I lose you, I'd still have me, I can't lose. And that stood out to me a lot. I actually wrote that lyric. If you're looking for love with someone else, you have to find that first, or else you don't have what you're looking for. With social media nowadays, I think it's really important to love yourself for who you are, because there are so many negative things that happen online.
I love her. She's perfect, honestly. And I think she's so real. I really hope that Hollywood doesn't change her too much. But I was watching an interview with Bryce, and Bryce was kind of saying how the song, like, she kind of got some of the ideas from him, because he's like, I was in the car with her one day and I said, I'm obsessed with you. And she was like, I'm obsessed with me too. And I love that energy, because above anything else, you need to love yourself.
110%. And I think people definitely need to learn that. I think that people truly are like, okay, if you're done with someone, like, move on to the next. Like, when something doesn't work out with someone, the best way to get over them is to get under someone. And I do not like that. That is not going to benefit you, in my opinion, at all. Yeah, it could kind of cover up that pain or whatever you're feeling for that time period, but you need to be at peace with yourself and feel great about where you're at before you even make any of those assumptions. And I think her having this song and her platform and doing what she does, and she always puts on a positive face. She's always smiling. And she is genuinely a Southern Belle. So she just gives off that energy always. And I really admire that about her, but you know that she definitely has these feelings. So I feel like her kind of getting all of this out in a music path is such a great move for her. So it's a yay from me.
I agree. And I have been supporting her extra because she is getting so much hate for the song. And I'm like,
wait, what?
F off. Yeah, look at the comments. Like, there's just like so many comments saying such negative things to her. And so I commented like, I love this, because, you know, they read it sometimes and people forget that they're real people too. And people are like, it's auto-tune. Like,
okay, if it's auto-tune, then like listen to a recording. And I love T-Pain, but listen to a recording of T-Pain without auto-tune. He sounds so much better, but it's always what the label wants, not what the artist wants. My next point that I'd like to touch on, and I'm very curious because you and I actually didn't talk about this at all, Lil Nas X's new music video, which he is getting so much shit for. So for those of you that don't know, Lil Nas X came out with a song called Montero, aka Call Me By Your Name. It basically is around him realizing and coming to terms with his sexuality and about a fling that he had had with a guy a few summers ago or last summer. And I think it's just really a song for him being able to share his story and how he came to terms with being comfortable in his own skin and being his authentic self. His music video for it was extremely, extremely vivid. The song contains a lot of religious and sexually explicit imagery. And basically in the video, he gives a lap dance to quote unquote the devil, Satan. And just kind of being like, oh, fuck the norm, fuck whatever society tells us, I'm going to do me. And he is getting so much shit just for the music video, not even the song. But I think the music video has brought a lot of what the song entails to life. So I'm curious to know what your thoughts are.
Well, I didn't watch it until last night, but I don't know why everyone's acting so surprised. Artists make the most weirdest music videos. That's not new here. So I watched it and I was like, ooh, ooh. But it was just like, I look at most music videos and I'm like, that's weird. So I don't think there's any difference in why he's like getting hate for it. Like, yes, it's weird, but he's showing like imagery, like show his message. I don't know. Like, what are your thoughts? I say yay.
I think it's like, yeah, I think people need to, you know, swallow their pride and swallow whatever society fucking tells them. This is something where so many people like him have struggled with on the daily. And I know I've watched friends of mine go through it. I had a best friend in high school who was so terrified to come out because he just didn't know what people would say or think. And I know if he had heard something like this, and this is going to sound super cliche, but I don't give a shit. I know if he had someone like Lil Nas X come into his life as an artist and be like, hey, this is cool. I'm like this. Take me or leave me. He would have felt so much more comfortable when he was dealing with whatever he was feeling when he was trying to figure out if he really wanted to come out where his authenticity lied. And I think people need to shut the fuck up. This is what happens. There have been way worse. I think we should be a lot more concerned of what's going on in the classroom and teaching things like morals and values like this and saying, hey, if you like guys and you're a guy and if you're a girl and you like girls, that's okay. So I think I'm giving the video a yay. I'm giving a nay to the backlash.
I agree with it.
Punk rocks night out. So for the UFC fight that happened this past weekend, we saw two of probably like the most famous and up and coming couples in Hollywood. Punk rock couple to be exact, out and about, you know, having a night. And it was Travis Barker and Kourtney Kardashian, who are the, I think, cutest couple ever. And Megan Fox and MGK, Machine Gun Kelly. Did you see that Matt James was also behind them?
I did not see that.
Oh my God, I'll send you the TikTok. But everybody's been kind of loving or giving shit to Travis Barker and Kourtney Kardashian and Megan Fox and Machine Gun Kelly because nobody likes straying from the norm, seeing people out of their, I guess, comfort zone. So everyone always knew Kourtney with Scott. And I feel like we all deep down want Kourtney and Scott to be together forever. But right now they both are in two different places. They were together for such a long time. They'll always have an attachment to each other because of their kids, which is amazing. I think the way that they co-parent is the way that most people should co-parent. I don't know. That's just what I see from the outside looking in. But people are always giving them shit saying that Kourtney and Travis, I don't know if I love them together, whatever. And then same thing with Megan and Machine Gun Kelly, because Megan recently got divorced from Brian Austin Green. And for those of you that don't know, he was on Beverly Hills 90210. I used to love him. I had a crush on him when I was younger. And with their divorce and him coming out saying all these different things about their relationship and how she is with her kids, it's a very messy situation. So people are either team for them or team not for them. But I'm team yay all the way. I give them all the yays in the world. I love them all together. And I'm really curious to see where it goes. So what about you?
I would say yay too. I love them. First off, Megan and Kourtney are both beautiful.
They kind of look alike, right?
They do. And I'm like, ooh. And I was thinking, like, do they like feel competition between each other? Like, who's the cuter like punk rock couple? But it's definitely imagine? I know, and it's definitely like a fetish, because this is like weird about me, but I definitely can see the attraction for those guys. But here's my dilemma: I'm bigger than those boys. Like their legs, they like are spaghetti noodles. Yeah, and I'm not scrawny, so those guys would never, like, I would never be with anyone like that. But I can see the attraction to it.
I think it also has to be like a huge personality thing. Like, it kind of gives off that bad boy energy. And I don't know. I think that when you have a connection and when someone is a musician, especially, they kind of give off that like sexual appeal that it's like, ooh, this is really enticing. And I also think, and I heard someone else say this, that the best relationships end up working out when you're friends beforehand. And Courtney and Travis have been long-term family friends. And I think that I love them both, but I kind of am rooting for Travis and Courtney a little bit more so because I feel like there's a lot more history. They know each other pretty well. Megan and Machine Gun Kelly have definitely been in talks for quite some time, but I don't know how long it'll go based on both their track records, I hate to say. So I give them both yays, but for longevity, I'm giving it more towards Travis and Courtney.
Yes, I agree.
My final topic that I want to talk about, and it's not really like newsworthy, but this is just a prediction, if you will. So as we know, I'm heartbroken about it. I think you are too, about Kim Kardashian and Kanye getting divorced. And it's no secret that people are always like, who's Kim going to date next? Who's Kim doing this with? And I think for a while, she's not going to date anyone actually, but I'd like to think and pretend of potential suitors for Miss Kardashian. Are you ready for a game of Kim K's Next Bae?
Oh, I like it.
All right. So I put together six different people and I'm going to tell you their names all at once. And then I want to hear which one stands out to you that you think would be a good match for her and which ones you don't think would be a great match for her. Are you ready?
Yes. I'm scared I won't know who they are.
Oh, no, you will. First, we have Michael B. Jordan. I'm ignoring the fact that he's dating Lori Harvey because they're not married. So he's technically still single. Van Jones, Milo Ventimiglia. I don't know how to pronounce that correctly, but he's from This Is Us. Gilmore Girls, you all know him. He's one sexy motherfucker. Brad Pitt, Bradley Cooper, and Drake. Because everybody knows there's always been that drama or whatever with him and Kanye and Kim. Who stands out to you, number one?
I'd like to see Drake and Kim. But I waited on Katie for this opinion of general because she's a huge Kardashian fan. I like dabble with them. I'm not like a diehard. And she was like, I don't think anyone, honestly. She can have anyone she wants as I think she can go for an athlete or a business person. Mm-hmm. I don't think an athlete, but I think Drake would be fun to spice things up. What are your thoughts?
So the reason I put Van Jones on there is because there were so many rumors circulating about the two of them a while back because they were lawyers. Well, she's a lawyer, B, working together for all what they are focusing on. They work together for her whole mission. And a lot of people saw the chemistry. He's always complimented her, said nothing but great things. And I thought that was pretty interesting because I'm like, okay, like, could this be something more than just a business partnership? And people are always like saying, oh, she should definitely go for someone else that's not like Kanye. She's dated athletes before. She's dated musicians before. I don't know who I definitely want to yay her with because I feel like she's kind of dabbled in it all.
Yeah, I feel like she needs an older man. Mm-hmm. Who's maybe in his like late 50s, who's like well established, has like done his business, had his time, because she's so successful, she does not need anyone.
Exactly.
So she needs someone who's just as like powerful and kind of like Kanye, but not as impulsive.
For Kim K's Next Bae, I'm going to yay Van Jones because I think that would be a good match. Yeah, I'm going to yay him. I'm honestly going to nay Drake. I just think that would cause too much drama. It would be so short-lived, and I don't know, I don't think it's worth trying it out. Like, it could be a fun little fling, but I don't think it would go beyond that. What about you?
Yeah, I agree. That's why I liked it, because I was like, oh, we'll spice things up, but it wouldn't last.
That is it, really, for yay or nay. I'm so excited that you agreed to come on and be the first, you know, fellow fanatic to join me.
Thanks for asking me. I hope I did okay.
You always do great. You always do great. But before you go, you know, another shameless plug, let my listeners know where to find you and the Moral Hangover podcast.
You can find me at @VicBruno_ and follow the podcast at the Moral Hangover podcast.
And I think we're going to try and do another Clubhouse event because we did the one from last week and it was so much fun.
Oh yeah, I had a blast. And Katie even said that to me. She's like, we need to do this more often. It went like better than expected.
So if you guys would be interested in doing something like pop culture yay or nay on Clubhouse with me, Katie, Vic, whoever, definitely let us both know. At our DMs, they are always open. But thanks so much for coming again. It was so much fun.
Thank you.
How was that for a nice little surprise new segment? I hope you guys enjoyed that. I'm really excited to see where yay or nay goes. I think it's going to be super fun to see what other people have to say as well. I'm hoping to get lots of more great people like Victoria on and talking about all these different things because everybody has their own niches when it comes to pop culture and what they're interested in. Victoria and I just happen to talk every single fucking day, every hour of the day, that I just knew that her being the first person on and doing this with me and doing things that we literally talk about on the daily would make so much more sense and make everyone understand the segment, game, whatever you want to call it, a little better. So I hope you all enjoyed that. But Everyone, it's time for the postgrad doozy to finish off today's episode. And I feel like I haven't done my own postgrad doozy in such a long time. So I'm very excited to give you some more postgrad shit that I've realized. My first thing is, this is a question. And this has honestly bothered me my entire, however long I've known about a college or Instagram or social media and posting about where you go to school. And someone tell me, and I'm going to make a poll on the Instagram tomorrow, when you put in the college that you're at or the grad school, whatever it may be, and you put in the year, say in your Instagram bio, a LinkedIn profile, and you write, say if it was me, like Lindsay Moraskin, Temple University class of 2020, right? Or if I wanted to do TU apostrophe 20, it pisses me off to no end when I see someone do like Temple University 20 apostrophe. Is that not the way to do it, or is that the way to do it? I've just always thought that it was apostrophe 20, 19, 18, 21, whatever it may be, not the number year, then the apostrophe. It just really boggled my mind, and I just want to know whatever you guys think or what you guys have done in your bios and your experiences, or what is the correct format, I guess. So that's postgrad doozy question number one. But now I actually have like a legit postgrad doozy for you all. And that is, stop apologizing. And I get told this by a lot of people, my hairdresser, my sister, my friends, my family, everyone. I feel like I'm always like, sorry, my bad. Oops, my bad. Sorry about everything, or apologizing for venting, or apologizing for feeling a certain way. And with my whole new realization of, you know, putting yourself forward and doing things and pushing yourself for yourself, you really just have to stop apologizing for whatever you're doing. The only person that you should be apologizing to is yourself, and yourself only. I feel like people feel the need to always say, oh, I'm sorry, and that's justifying whatever's going on. And guess what? That's not what you should be doing 110% of the time. You need to only say you're sorry if you actually did something wrong. And I feel like a lot of people mistake whatever they're doing or feeling or talking about as something wrong, and that's not the case at all. So everyone just needs to stop apologizing. And if you are going to apologize, kind of put a little bit more thought into what you're apologizing for. Take that with what you will, with a grain of salt, I guess. But that is this week's Postgrad Juicy. If anybody has any comments on apologizing or when to or when not to, please let me know in my DMs. They're always open. As well as if you have any trends or ideas for yay or nay for future guests. And like I said, yay or nay is not going to be a weekly thing. I'm still going to have my own little pop culture rundown, recap, whatever you want to call it. So I hope you all enjoyed Victoria Bruno's little cameo, I guess, with yay or nay. That is it for this week's episode. And everyone, I hate to report that next week is an off week. I will not be putting out an episode next Thursday just because I got some business stuff to take care of for the podcast. Got to get my ducks in a line. And then the following week, I will be back. So don't worry about that. So take that time to catch up on some episodes if you haven't done so already. DM me and let me know some things that you are on the lookout for. But I promise you, I will be so active on social media. So if you want to participate in any polls or anything like that, make sure you're following Jappy Jaws on Instagram at JAPPY. JAWS, as well as my personal at Lindsay Anya, LindsayAnya. Also linked down below, follow me on Clubhouse at Lindsay Moraskin. Follow me on TikTok and Twitter as well, if you dare to do so, at Lindsay Anya, LindsayAnya. Once again, that is all linked down below. And please, please, please make sure you are subscribed and following, liking, reviewing, rating, and notifying yourselves every single time I upload a brand new episode. It truly does mean the world and more. And I'm so excited to see what else comes up and for you guys to see what I have planned. You really are not ready for it. I know it'll be hard not hearing from me for a week, but I promise you all, we will be back in better than ever in two. So with that, I will see you all in 2 Thursdays.